Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Marcos Melitas. Live next hour. And then Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Hour number three. All right, I know. Everybody calm down. We've had some, well, when I say we, I mean Chris has spent some time talking to lawyers. And everybody concerned about if we have a new theme song. We're using that for now.
For now.
Right.
As a placeholder.
We forgot Rocky Mountain Mike had sent us one before.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me. Not so crappy, Radio Stephanie. Got tired of radio right-wing domination. Town to town, they seem to own the dial. Maybe you were meant to listen to Hannity. Just maybe tune me in once in a while. I'm at Stephanie Miller's show. It's not so crappy.
Possibility.
That's awesome. It's not so crappy. Some days we're only medium crappy. We forgot he actually hired singers and did jingles.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Sexy liberal Stephanie Miller. Chris LaVoy. Boys kneeling. Jim Ward. Lee LaFleur. Park Sheboygan. Fox Wine drinking radio slang. Stephanie Miller.
All right. All right, those are...
Oh, I feel like I'm back in the 60s.
Yes.
Exactly.
Chesterfields, not a cough and a carload.
Exactly. All right, speaking of theme songs, the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize to Bewitched fans everywhere, and also to any relatives of Aaron Neville who is not dead.
Told you. Wow.
And we mentioned yesterday that Aaron Neville called Ed Snowden and wants his mole back. And then someone posited that he would not need it anymore since he was Muerta.
I posited Muerta. That, actually.
Right. And he is not. He is very much alive, Chris.
Sorry. Apologize to the entire Neville family.
He is still in need of his mole. Ed Snowden cannot have it, although he should have
There's
his
There's a mole in our organization.
Right. We apologize. Okay. Chris and Castaic, we got quite a bit of Bewitched mail.
Yeah.
More important than the Fourth Amendment or the NSA spying that we screwed up. On Bewitched. Chris and Castaic, Bewitched, my head is exploding. Mama, you and Chris both need to turn in your Bewitched badges. Yeah, we went off our game yesterday.
I don't think I have a Bewitched badge.
Samantha's evil twin was Serena.
Right.
Who was played by Elizabeth Montgomery in a wig.
Right.
Dick York and or Dick Sargent.
No. See, they were deliberately confusing Bewitched.
Yeah.
So that 20 years later we would be confused.
20 years
Esmeralda
later.
Esmeralda was played by
it's
Alice.
It's more like 40 years later.
Esmeralda was played by Alice Ghostly, who looks like Senator Collins of Maine, which is why we call her Esmeralda. So we were right about that. Okay, of course, that's probably a sad commentary how I spent my formative years committing to memory the names and lives of fictional characters more interesting than my own. Oh, Chris and Castaic, we feel your pain.
So then Ryan, who was the crazy
Well, I'm getting
aunt?
To it. Okay. Ryan comes with New Jersey. Okay. Steph and the Mooks, Bewitched clarified. Seems like nobody can accurately remember the characters from Bewitched anymore, so I'm providing the following list of Samantha Stevens' relatives as a public service.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter, Tabitha.
Right, knew that.
Mother, Endora.
Right.
Evil twin sister, Elizabeth Montgomery and the brunette wig.
Serena.
Actually, Chris got that wrong. He said Sabrina. No.
It's Serena.
Serena.
I knew that.
See,
everybody knows
everybody
that.
Everybody screws up at some point. Ditzy aunt, Esmeralda. Flamboyant uncle, Paul Lind.
Right.
Arthur.
Uncle Arthur.
Family physician.
Dr. Bombay.
Dr. Bombay.
Come right away.
Right.
See?
Oh, P.S. Forgive the TV geekiness, but the actor who played Dr. Bombay also played
the captain in...
Colonel Crittenden on Hogan's Heroes.
That's right. But he also played the captain, the ship's captain on Titanic.
Right.
O.M.G. Ermagerd.
Okay.
Ermagerd.
All right. So that's a... Okay.
So who was Aunt Clara?
Oh, well, funny you should mention that. Okay, hang on. I was going to save some of this for later. Oh, here it is. Look, this even came with pictures.
See, that's who I pictured when I pictured...
See, Nancy confused Esmeralda with Endora. So,
right.
Duh.
Yeah, that's...
Dur, Nancy.
That's dumb.
Esmeralda Alice Ghostly is Esmeralda.
Okay.
Aunt Clara, Marion Lorne as Aunt Clara.
Uh-huh.
See, that actress died, and so she took over the role of the ditzy character,
although
it's a different character.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Pandora Spock as Serena. That's the, there you go. All right. Okay.
I like Aunt Clara.
Yes.
She was a dotty old...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Who would always make a...
Two different characters,
right.
Esmeralda and Aunt Clara.
Right. She would always make...
Aunt Clara,
like,
died, and then they brought in Esmeralda as a...
She would make Napoleon appear.
Right.
By mistake, when she meant to bring someone else in.
As you do.
Right. Oh, Aunt Clara. Oh, no.
And Dora is the lady from Twilight Zone with the aliens attacking.
All right.
She was also Citizen Kane's mom in Citizen Kane.
You see why most of us don't care about the NSA spying on us? Our brains are too consumed with that sort of thing.
Hmm.
Let's not even get into the characters in the Brady Bunch.
Oh, don't get me started. Okay.
I hardly ever watched
Brady Bunch. So speaking of strange bedfellows on the whole NSA thing.
Yep.
Why, Jim, look who's your bedfellow. Orly Tates, who I... Orly Tates, Birther Queen. Send me an email.
Yeah,
let me finish. Sign my petition for Edward Snowden Day. Public support will keep him alive. Please sign my petition to institute Edward Snowden National Whistleblower Patriots Against Government Corruption Day.
Well, there is places where the right and the left kind of...
Did she fight against the Patriot Act when it was being enacted in the first place?
Of course she
did.
Of course not.
Because Obama had nothing to do with that.
Because the Kenyan is doing it now.
Right.
Gosh, she is such a duplicitous mess.
Thanks. Now I'm going to get another letter today, aren't I?
It's duplicitous mess.
Stephanie Miller of The Stephanie Miller Show does not endorse that view. Because Stephanie Miller will get a legal letter later.
How is that a legal letter?
I'll have to get another root canal from her as a dentist.
And buy another
house.
To avoid
getting sued by her as a lawyer.
And buy
a house. Thanks, Chris. And I'm going to get a letter from Aaron Neville's lawyer. Fine. What a day already.
And Serena's lawyer.
Right.
Esmeralda.
Kevin in Chicago, sexy liberal on the other side of the equation. Hey, Steph and the Mooks. Oh, hang on a second. Let me get... He's mad.
Oh?
Seriously, what the is new about all this? I'm still trying to figure this out. Because some punk wanted to pretend he's some kind of great American? Him. I hope he goes to prison for life. I didn't serve my country with a top secret clearance to have some high school dropout who couldn't even hack the U.S. Army decide what's right and wrong for the entire country. Change the law or shut the... up. Kevin in Chicago.
Mm. Yeah.
He made a good point. And a lot of these issues intersect, whether it's, you know, we've been talking about gun registration and how everybody's a hypocrite on this issue.
Yes.
About what's, you know. But he was saying when Obama decided to continue Bush's policies, he said, I was pissed, but you know what? My position lost and life went on. Guess what? Do I think it's insane in this country that mentally ill people can continue to get assault rifles with no background check? Yes. But guess what? It's still legal because I lost on that issue, right? You can get a back, you know, this guy in Santa Monica had a, you know, automatic weapon with 1,300 rounds, and he's mentally ill, and that's exactly, anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? The ACLU this morning has brought a lawsuit against the Obama administration for this. I don't know that the Obama administration can win because this really flies in the face of the Fourth Amendment.
Well... Funny, you should mention that. I have the Fourth Amendment right in front of me.
I know. Who printed that out for you, Stephanie?
Why, you did. Because you're wrong on everything else, including Aaron Neville and Bewitched. Okay.
But am I wrong on the Fourth Amendment?
No.
Okay.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
So it needs to be very specific before you get a warrant.
I was laughing about papers being in there. I mean, this is what we keep talking about is that technology... Just like when we talk about the Second Amendment, when we go, the Founding Fathers couldn't have envisioned, you know, assault weapons. Did a well-regulated militia mean some mentally ill guy with an assault weapon?
And is a phone call a personal effect?
Right. And my point, I love papers because I'm saying,
emails.
You don't know how I'm protecting my privacy? I have a paper calendar. There is no electronic record of my schedule anywhere. So if you being a Luddite protects you.
I don't think
they can follow you in your car.
Yeah.
Right, you'd have to break into my house and look at my paper calendar if you really wanted to know what I'm doing.
Did you know that emails are only private for 180 days? A warrant can be gotten to look into your emails, but after 180 days, it becomes a regular database according to the law, and only a subpoena is needed rather than a warrant.
But I mean, this may be a discussion more about technology than because, you know, exactly. While technology makes things easier, Well, for most people that understand it,
how
to do a calendar on your thing.
Brad Friedman's making an interesting
Me
point.
And my 90-year-old mother, we are like, our personal lives on lockdown because of the paper calendar.
But Brad Friedman has an interesting take on this whole Booz Allen Hamilton thing.
Yeah.
In disclosing he served in the NSA as a third-party contractor, Snowden's revelation touched upon the disturbing fact that the U.S. has become not only a national security surveillance state, but a privatized national security surveillance state. Our national security apparatus is now run in no small part by massive private corporations whose financial interests may be better served by operating in secret and by exploiting and exaggerating public
funds. Right, and this whole thing still stinks to me that you know, this guy worked there 3 weeks at a private contractor.
Yeah,
he must have been intending to do
this. The whole
thing
is fishy.
You don't get disgruntled in 3 weeks. Well, working with me in 3 weeks, you get disgruntled.
But
you're still here.
Yeah, associate producers are like Murphy Brown's secretary.
Right, if there were, you know, better options for you.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This one, Sarah in Washington State, kudos to Jim. I love you all equally, but Jim is the hero of the week. I want to thank Jim for standing up for the Fourth Amendment in the light of what has been revealed. Yes, we already assumed this, but now we have confirmation that our Internet usage is subject to search. It doesn't really matter to me that Dana in Maryland doesn't use email anymore. She doesn't feel like she has anything to hide. So because she doesn't use email, we all should be okay with this government overreach. The truth is, if an American citizen is wrongfully suspected of associating with the wrong people, then other parts of their lives will also be discovered and perhaps used against them. Those who are willing to accept this are just part of the way things are supposed to be now need to ask themselves, where are we willing to draw the line? Because the line is always moving. We could prevent a lot of crime by violating even more of our Fourth Amendment rights. Instead, we need to say out loud as a nation where we draw the line for invading our privacy. I do really love the show. Listen to the Stephcast every day. That's all that's important to me.
But this, the whole privatization thing, it's like, you know, Blackwater and the private for-profit prisons and all that. It's all, they have a financial incentive.
Yeah.
To arrest people.
Right.
For whatever reason.
All right, when we come back.
And you can't vote for the heads of these corporations.
Right on the tail of the kudos to Jim email.
Yeah.
I have a topic that's going to make Jim's head explode.
Aha!
Which involves the Fourth Amendment. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
From a location midway between the loudspeakers.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah.
Several times.
Pardon me.
You okay?
That's it.
Can I talk now? Okay,
yeah.
23 minutes after the hour.
We have to rock the house, y'all.
Okay, hang on. Hold please. Everybody wait. All right.
Rock the house, y'all.
Okay. Now we can continue.
All right. Now that we've hit it and rock the house, y'all.
Right. Now
we can
go.
Continue.
Good to go. Okay. Oh, for God's sakes. What? Another Chris is wrong.
Well, what did I do now?
Dave in Minneapolis. Hello, Dave. Good morning.
Oh, there's the need for remedial television observation in that group. I tell you, the guy that played Dr. Bombay was not the same guy that played the captain on the Titanic.
He was in Titanic, though.
He was in Titanic, yes. That much is correct. He played
Felix
some chubby drunk guy. I don't know.
Oh.
But I can't remember what his name was. But
he played Colonel Crittenden on Hogan's Heroes. Right.
Yes, we know that.
Yes.
Yes, but also, the guy that played the captain was the same guy that got killed in the Return of the Kings movie, where in the Lord of the Rings series, where he gets crushed by his own horse or whatever when at the end there.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember his name.
Right.
But anyway,
so you don't know who he played in Titanic.
He was Colonel Archibald Gracie IV.
He was the iceberg, actually.
No, he was
who's
that? Who's Colonel Archibald Gracie?
I don't know.
All right.
Some famous dead guy. I don't know.
Okay.
He
all right.
was.
All right, you confused us all more. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
I thought he was the captain. I apologize.
All right. Well, how are you gonna get on with your day now? You can't.
I don't know.
Now it's ruined.
It is. Totes ruined.
Okay.
Dr. Bombay, get ahead!
All right, let's review. What does Jim love? The Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
What does Jim hate more than anything? I'll give you a hint. It's in cars. Something that people do in their cars.
Oh,
texting.
That's correct.
Is texting going to merge
with
the Fourth Amendment?
How about this story, Jim? Where do you come down on this? Police officers across New Jersey could be saying, license, registration, and cell phone, please. At the scenes of car crashes, if new legislation introduced in the state Senate becomes law, the measure would allow cops without a warrant to thumb through your cell phone to determine if you were
texting
or talking on the phone when the accident occurred. It requires...
I think there's a loophole there.
I knew it. Jim has an exception because he hates people. Safety.
No. This is patently against the Fourth Amendment.
And the ACLU says so, too. You'll be surprised to know. It requires officers to have reasonable grounds to believe the law was broken.
If you saw somebody doing this while they're driving and then there's a crash.
Yeah, a Republican guy grounds. Is behind the bill, and he says, because by the time you call, the cop isn't going to witness it, by the time you call him, he said, unless you're unconscious with a cell phone in your hand or, someone says, I saw her or him talking on the phone or texting.
In that case,
no, but you know what? You can go to phone records.
Right.
And see.
You can subpoena phone records.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's what you need to do. Yeah. You can't rifle through someone's phone on the site without a warrant.
That's what I mean. But see, this is enough.
Makes sense.
See, because that's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's even like, and again, maybe.
Yeah, if you go to
the NSA,
a judge has to find probable cause.
But a cop going, give me your phone. And
I would throw the phone.
And say
at
you
the
were
cop.
Just, sexting me as you do. Say you were just sexting me, and that's the last thing they find. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, this has got my civil libertarians hackles. Oh, my God.
I mostly brought it up to torture Jim, because, see?
Well, if you subpoena the phone records.
That's what you need to do.
Right.
That's the legal way to do it.
The ACLU said the bill is problematic because it infringes on the privacy rights of citizens. Our state and federal constitutions generally require probable cause before authorizing a search, particularly when it comes to areas that contain highly personal information, such as cell phones.
Sure.
And a New Jersey state rep said he doubts the bill would solve any problems and whether it could be implemented fairly. Here's the bottom line. If you went through what this bill is supposedly allowing, you still can't determine if the person with the phone actually had a distraction that contributed to the crash. The bill is problematic because it infringes on the privacy rights of citizens. I'll give you an example. I got in a fender bender, remember, a few months ago?
Yep.
And I actually had been on the phone right before it happened. Not illegal, on a Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't what caused the crash. But if they had grabbed my cell phone and said,
you were talking on the phone.
No, I mean, it was just one of those things. There had been an accident, so we were standstill, and then we all started going.
Yeah.
And there was another stop, and everybody stopped too quickly, and I hit the car in front of me. But anyway.
So it was your fault.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but it was not caused by me being on the phone.
Okay.
And that would have been creepy to me if the cops said, give me your phone, and I'm going to go rifle through it and see
I guess you could argue that, if you'd been drinking and you hit the other cards, wasn't
because
I'm drunk.
Had you been drinking?
No, it was in the morning.
You drink in the morning?
That was a good supposition, but no. I was on my way back from work.
Okay.
Someone compared it to that if you had an open container of alcohol in the car, somebody in support of the law said, that's the same thing.
It's
a cop can grab that without a...
Right, but it's illegal to have an open container in the car in most states.
Right, and it's also illegal to be on the phone, handheld, or texting.
In some states, not all states.
See? It's a pesky topic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I must say, ever since you started having regular intercourse, your mind has lost its keen edge. You should reflect on that.
All right. Done. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Blanche in Harrisburg. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Blanche. Welcome.
Hello there. How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
I absolutely love your show. I love all you guys.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you for all the information that you give everyone that watches TV, watches your show.
Oh.
All the outlets, you're the only show that I watch anymore.
Oh.
Everybody else has lost their ever-loving mind. I'm just so sick of everybody else, but your show keeps me laughing, keeps me informed, and I thank you, all of you.
Thank you,
Blanche. You guys are awesome.
She's always dependent on the kindness of the strangers on our show. Blanche.
Blanche.
Blanche. What do you think about this whole NSA thing?
I don't see anything wrong with it at all. You know, the government knows what they're doing. You know, the program obviously been out there for a while, so I don't know why everybody's losing their mind about it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. There's a new poll, Jim, and this shows exactly what I said before. There's enough hypocrisy to go around because the numbers flip exactly, Democrats, Republicans, depending on whether Bush right. or Obama was doing it.
Which
and that's,
box
yeah.
is being gored. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, exactly. As someone mentioned, so I did the story that made Jim said expose. Interesting, he thinks there's a loophole in the Fourth Amendment regarding cell phones and texting.
No, I think Chris is right. The way to do that is subpoena the phone records.
Yeah, well, that's the way they have yeah. to do it now.
Sure.
But
and that's the way they should continue to do it.
Police officers don't want to have to do it that way.
Right.
They want it. This is a New Jersey law we were talking about that is being considered right. where the cop could literally take your cell phone at the right. scene of an accident to see if you'd been texting or calling.
Well, sometimes police officers don't get to do everything that they want to do.
Oh, look at you. so much for your law and order liberal side.
Well.
That just went poof.
No, that's my yeah, law
no,
side. That's
time for you to go sit in the corner and think about what you've done.
What's the quote that I'm going to screw up now, but I'll defend your...
Who knows?
I may disagree with you.
But I'll defend your right to be wrong. Say it.
Or, top of no, my lungs. Something like that. But my point is...
We must get into Iraq as quickly as we got
no,
out of...
No, that's a different thing that I...
Easily as quickly out get
right,
Iraq
and,
from go
exactly.
away.
Okay, and see. Here's my point. But no, but I was saying it is interesting. Like, Jim really hates people texting and talking on the phone. You know, and again, that goes
well,
to one
again,
of those things, too, that, like, look at this gun debate. People are like, yeah, it's crazy. Freedom, Hitler, you can't register my... And then we're like, okay. Did you remember when we first had to use seatbelts? I felt like that. I felt like,
I
no,
know, you didn't wear seatbelts
you.
For the longest time.
I that's, know. And it, right? And then and gradually we all go, and is that giving up a freedom? Yes, but is it preventing a lot of
fly
death?
Fly through the windshield?
Right. 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 Same thing when they first made the no cell phone laws. I'm like, screw you! I'm in the privacy of my car. If I
freedom
wanna...
to be decapitated like Jane Mansfield.
Right. I wanted the
wow.
freedom to be decapitated. What?
Like
yes.
Jane
yes.
Mansfield.
Yes.
Just a torso with boobs.
Right. I wanted the freedom. To... Because if not, then you're Hitler. If I don't have the freedom to be just a torso with boobs.
No, but me...
What kind of country is this?
Texting and talking on the phone are two different things, especially if you have a Bluetooth. And especially
right.
if you're
but,
having...
But like Chris pointed out, it's different laws in different states. I remember when I got a ticket for talking on the phone when that law first passed, and I was pissed. I was like, Attica, screw you, I was on the phone, it's in the privacy of my car. Yeah.
But if you're using both hands to drive and you have a Bluetooth and you're not
right.
involved in some emotional conversation where you're gesticulating
right.
wildly and... shouting at the
right.
car in front of you.
What's next, Jim? What's next in terms of taking away our freedom? Who's to decide what's an emotional conversation?
You can
because
see it.
There'd be a difference between what men and women consider an emotional conversation.
I'm talking
and
about...
I consider intimacy.
What?
I'm just kidding. Who judges that, though?
No, I'm talking about things I've observed on the freeway where someone is tailgating you
right.
and they're shouting and gesticulating and
right.
they're obviously talking to someone, you know, on
right.
the Bluetooth. And then you pull over, and they pull
right.
up right behind the
you heard,
the next person
you heard him, ladies and gentlemen. Jim
as
Ward
opposed
would
to,
prevent you from gesticulating. That would be regulated. In Jim Ward's America,
you would not have
the freedom to gesticulate in your car.
When I'm talking on the Bluetooth, I'm looking at the mirrors, I still have situational right. awareness. It's things
you
like, I'm going to be late.
I can never get the Bluetooth
minutes.
To stay in my ear, so I always have one hand up here to keep it in.
Well, you need a better Bluetooth.
No, I have a jawbone. That's the only kind of... I have weirdly shaped ears. I can't hear anything.
You know what would happen to you in Jim Ward's America? Just for the crime of having a weirdly shaped ear.
Yeah. You know those iPhone earbuds?
You would...
I can't.
No,
earbuds. They do not stay in my ear at all.
I can't
Gitmo.
Use
Gitmo
iPod.
For
yeah.
you. Yeah.
No.
Just saying, but like when you talk about like freedoms you give up, I mean, we grew up in an era where you would, you know, trade in your car and the seatbelts were never used. They were, are they in there somewhere?
Oh, the seatbelts? Really?
Right.
Wow,
right.
They
exactly.
were always shoved like down in there.
I remember I hated wearing seatbelts, and it's just one of those things you go, okay, for safety. And this is what we get into the gun debate. You go, why is that the one thing that, you know.
That can't be regulated.
Right.
Cars in the 70s only had the lap belt. Do you remember
right.
that? And then if right. you got a crash. You'd be just chopped in half because there was nothing holding
and,
your...
It just facilitated and
before,
you being chopped in half.
And before
headrest,
you get whiplash.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You break your neck.
How did we survive the 70s?
It turned your car more into a Ginsu knife,
yeah,
really.
Exactly.
Right, so you could more
no
efficiently be
glass.
Chopped in half. Right. But anyway, no, just they're all interesting topics when you're talking
metal
about...
Metal dashboards, bam!
Right. Ooh. when you're talking about the freedoms and all of that, right? I mean, the freedoms that I guess we've given up in the name of either safety in terms of, you know, on the highways or security in terms of terrorists. But interesting. So I know. But I mean, I was laughing because I know that's his bugaboo is the people texting or calling. See?
You honk at him.
And he literally,
for
a moment, he's like, there might be a loophole in the Fourth Amendment that allows a cop to grab your phone at the scene.
Just for that. You can text via Siri, you know, by saying, you know, text so-and-so and then say the message. Well, however, it always misspells things.
Jerk.
And so then you have to go back and manually fix the misspellings.
Love what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Siri is so passive-aggressive, you could end up in Gitmo again.
Sure.
See? Right.
Love
what? Like Siri
will be
text.
5 minutes lot.
Siri, text, bitch, boss. And then, I don't know what
how
you mean
how did you know
by,
that's how I have you in my phone?
I don't know what you mean by which Hugo boss would you like me to text? What? No!
No!
I said bitch, boss!
Recalculating.
Okay. Tangi in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tangi!
Hey. Excuse me. Hey. Yeah, like, I just completely agree with the last person, and
about what
disagree with Jim on the NSA thing, disagree with him completely, and I'll tell you why, because I'm trying to figure out where was Glenn Greenwald and where was the ACLU when the mayor of New York passed that stop and frisk thing. Where were
right.
they?
Right.
Well, I mean, it's almost as if when the constitutional rights of a certain sector are violated, which they've been violated since basically we've been here. So it's like we have no real heartfelt thing about the Constitution, especially like who it was written by and what they wrote in it. So now all of a sudden that
well, it's you know,
people,
it, right,
rights are going to be violated.
Right, Tangi,
so
that's
now
what,
they got a hair on fire thing.
That's
going.
What we're debating is, you know, did the Founding Fathers envision it for the Second Amendment? Crazy people with assault weapons.
The Second
Amendment. In the Fourth Amendment, when it refers to papers, what do you do in an electronic age? You know, in the age of the...
I think you have to apply the word papers to any
right.
kind of personal document.
Right, exactly. It's not, doesn't have to literally be paper.
Right.
Good
right.
luck in the electronic age.
Well, no, it's still a document, if, yeah. whether or not it's on paper.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
But they called documents papers back then.
Right.
Right.
That's what they called them
I
because
got it.
That's what they were.
Right.
Okay. Richard in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Maybe he went to Hong Kong to lock in the charges because of the extradition treaty.
What do you mean?
Not to keep everything secret, to keep everything out in the open.
I'm not sure Hong Kong doesn't have an extradition treaty.
Yeah. They do have
fact,
an
agreement.
Yes,
do.
They have an extradition agreement.
He needs to recalculate. Rude. He miscalculated.
Yes. In fact,
I may have made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, how about can I have some Russian music? How about Russia offering him asylum? Because, you know, they believe in the freedom to, you know, speak out, Jim, as you know, against
that.
Right. Yeah. Just saying yet to hypocrisy. I think they're just doing it to irritate us. They're saying they would consider asylum for Edward Snowden. Oh, here it is. I've got it. Russia has offered to consider an asylum request from the U.S. whistleblower Edward Snowden. Fearing U.S. retaliation, Snowden said at the weekend, my predisposition to seek asylum in a country with shared values... What now? citing Iceland as an example.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, there you go. Dmitry Peskov. He's Putin's spokesman.
Pooty poop.
Right. He said, if such an appeal is given, it will be considered. We'll act according to facts. The head of Alexei Pushkov, head of Duma's International Affairs Committee, said, by promising asylum to Snowden, Moscow has taken upon itself the protection of those persecuted for political reasons. Wow!
I ain't just
really?
Thinking
really?
Of
that. Okay. There will be hysterics in the U.S. Uh-huh. Yes.
That's, yeah.
They only recognize this right for themselves. Was he implying that Russia... For their own people, they don't recognize that right for their own people. What's he, huh?
Well, sort
he
of.
He said,
it's
listening.
Not the Soviet Union anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but it's
right.
not.
It's not exactly.
It's not a beacon
yes.
of freedom.
No.
Oh, sure. If you speak out against Putin, they treat you very gently.
Oh, of course.
Well, now if you even say the word gay, they put you in a gulag.
Yeah. Yes, you know, well-known human rights activist, Russia, what? He said, listening to telephones and tracking the internet, the U.S. Special Services broke the laws of their country. No, they didn't. That's the problem. It is the law of our country. Whether you believe in that or not, in the Patriot Act, that's incorrect. In this case, Snowden, like Assange, is a human rights activist. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Computer says no.
Whatever. Okay. All right. Yeah, the country's Russia has a. I like that they add this in the story. Russia has a roundly poor reputation for human rights and freedom.
Oh, really?
With people regularly persecuted for their political beliefs, the country's own whistleblowers suffer a harrowing fate. Yeah. I'm just guessing it involves what's that area? Siberia.
It's Siberia.
Right, and being hit with the Russian equivalent of a bag of vipers or glass.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
they have vipers.
Yeah, there's more glass than vipers
right,
in Russia.
Right. So if they have to choose.
Sure.
It's good. Glass. It's good.
Look, gay.
Yeah. It's better when vodka is in glass. But
where is my bag of glass? All right, 45.
I prefer a bag of vodka.
Most people would like to be hit with a bag of vodka in Russia. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Fifty minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Travis Bone,
yes.
Associate producer, phone screener.
Yes.
Texted Siri.
Yes. He talked to Siri and,
yeah.
And he said, Siri, are you helping the NSA wiretapping? Siri said, no comment, Travis.
Oh, Sure, Siri. She's a little sketch.
Yeah,
Siri.
I think so.
Okay, Kent in Maryland. She's so evasive. Kent in Maryland. Hi.
Hi,
go ahead.
Hello. All right, so I may be verbose. Feel free to cut me off if that's necessary. I think the thing with the NSA is that people aren't as apathetic as we think they are. I think part of it is they don't understand the gravity of it. And I think a bigger part is that we don't feel, as the American people, that we can affect change in our government anymore. I mean, you think back, going back a ways, we watched for, 5 months, 50 days, something like that, as billions of barrels of oil spilled into the Gulf of Mexico, and nothing changed. We did the Occupy Wall Street and had protests, and we were on the news every night, and nothing changed.
Wait, Ken, that one, I would say, it did start a conversation about income inequality that we have never had before. And I think it was part of this last election, particularly when Romney got caught on tape about the 47% comments.
Yep.
So, I agree with you to a point. I mean, my personal frustration is with the gun stuff. I mean, you just really? Like, really? 90-something percent of the American people want this, and we still weren't able to get it. So, I mean, I agree with both parts of what you're saying, actually.
But it seems as though, and this is, you know, from a disillusioned 20-something speaking here, that we can't affect any proactive change in governmental policies at the moment. We have to rely on a Congress and a Senate that can't agree that ice is colder than steam.
Yeah,
and
you're very, very right.
Yes, nicely said, sir. All right, Glenn Greenwald from The Guardian, who broke this story.
We're going to have a lot more significant revelations that have not yet been heard over the next several weeks and months.
Why we have to wait? Why not? Why not now? I'd like to know. Interesting piece in the Daily Beast, the mind of leaker Edward Snowden, an armchair analysis. They interviewed a lot of, sort of experts. And is Edward Snowden a mastermind or a maniac, genius or narcissist? They asked professional profilers to evaluate his public statements for clues to his psyche. NSA whistleblower Ed Snowden may be a naive do-gooder in over his head, or he could be a narcissist motivated by the glory of seeing his name in print. Maybe he's just a disgruntled guy who thinks he's smarter than everyone else.
Is this like Bill O'Reilly's body language expert?
No. These are real people.
Okay.
No, but there is that. You know, our first Kevin in Chicago who wrote was pissed. He said, it's up to this guy to decide the laws of our land? Some, high school dropout that's obviously must have gone into this job intending to do that. He's only in the job three And I'm just saying, you know, to leak a bunch of national security secrets, which, by the way, Jim, may or may not get a lot of people killed. It was the same thing we talked about yesterday with Valerie Plame. And there was one story I was reading. They're saying, we don't know yet whether this revealed revealed every CIA operative's name and, you know, place around the world.
At this point, we only know about the program that the NSA is doing. We don't know any specific information.
Right.
So right now, I don't think anybody's life has been put in danger.
Well, they don't know. An analysis was saying they don't know if a lot of CIA operations and, you know, their locations and agents have been revealed.
It may come out.
Yeah. Dr. Casey
maybe
Jordan.
Not.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
The whole thing is just weird.
Yes, exactly. Agreed. Dr. Casey Jordan, criminologist who specializes in crime and human behavior, said he thinks he's a hero. He thinks of himself as a conscientious objector. He thinks he's going to be like the French revolutionaries in Les Miserables, that if you die trying, you'll be remembered for your actions. Well, one hopes that he's played by a better singer than
Russell Crowe.
Right.
Actually, Russell Crowe wasn't bad. It was Hugh Jackman that bothered me with that ridiculous vibrato.
No, Hugh Jackman was fine. Russell Crowe just seemed like he was out of place. He doesn't have a musical theater voice. He has a rock singer voice.
Yeah, but he hit the notes. It wasn't bad.
He was adequate.
And will his girlfriend Lost at Sea be played by, what's her name, that was in Les Miserables? I'm blanking now. The toothless French prostitute. Who?
Anne Hathaway.
Right, Anne Hathaway. Will Anne Hathaway play the waifish girlfriend?
She certainly does. Anne Hathaway.
Retired FBI profiler and former U.S. Army counterintelligence agent said, for someone to believe he could make decisions on world events and he can shape the world and he alone, not the federal judges, the attorney general, or the Supreme Court, should be the only one to determine what should be a national secret, that's a level of arrogance only he can explain. That I agree with.
Yeah.
He says there are usually personal reasons why someone like Stone gives up the goods. It could be what one of our listeners posited, Chris, and that is this is just the most holic way to break up with a girlfriend ever. Just saying.
I don't think you go through all that trouble to.
FBI and CIA agents have given up secret information to the Soviets, sometimes for money, sometimes because they were underpaid and underappreciated, and this was their way of saying, look how smart I am. Was there a level of narcissism? Did he feel his supervisors demeaned him? Did he feel he was underpaid? All these questions will have to be answered. Well, I mean, the fact that he was only there 3 weeks would kind of say, really? Do you decide to do this and get disgruntled within 3 weeks, or did you go in intending to do
this? What kind of background check did he pass?
Yeah. And by the way, we know he lied about his salary. He said 200, and they said 122.
Yeah. Which is still
a lot.
Pretty
still not
good for a high school dropout.
Just saying he may be fudging some things is all we're saying. According to a Canadian criminal profile expert, he was the wrong guy in the wrong place, someone who shouldn't have had access to the information he had access to. Well, clearly. They put him in areas where he sees this data collection, and at such a large scale he feels affronted by it, that he's more loyal to his personal ideals than government and national security. Hold up. I love this part. Have you heard... Hold up in the Swank Hotel in Hong Kong. Snowden said he's barely left his room, has lined the doors of his hotel room with pillows to prevent eavesdropping. If he knows what technology can do, a pillow will stop that. A pillow will give me Fourth Amendment rights.
That just sounds like rank paranoia.
Right, and then he said, and put a red hood over his head and computer when entering his password to prevent hidden cameras from getting the information. Well, once again, if he thinks the NSA can get anything, really? All we need is a pillow or a red hood?
It has to be red, apparently.
It has to be red.
Yeah. No, you don't call attention to yourself with red.
Wow, this gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah, well, this is the other thing. Just this sentence alone. Snowden told The Guardian he wants to avoid the media spotlight.
What?
What's wrong with that?
What?
What now? He told a
Snowden
major newspaper.
Snowden said to the media...
look at me. I'm avoiding the media spotlight.
He said I don't want public attention because I don't want the story to be about me.
I don't want public attention.
Right.
Did you hear that?
It's like news for the hard of hearing. Except for the, you know.
Generalissimo.
Francisco Franco is still dead.
Except for the self-involved. A lot of these government agents, they think they're Jason Bourne, said another expert. I think he's young and naive and seduced to the Julian Assange WikiLeaks concept that he can be a hero. It's a miscalculation on his part. And I love his desire for Iceland may be a miscalculation. I hope he Googles the median temperature in Iceland in January.
Yeah. A red hoodie ain't going to cut it.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Marcus Melitzis this hour, at the bottom of the hour. Hal Sparks next hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I know, everybody calm down. We're just, you know, figuring out new theme songs after conversations with a lot of lawyers. Rocky Mountain
sure.
Mike reminds us that he's already done some theme songs for us.
Stephanie Miller is the place to be. Charming liberals are the ones for me. Fans spreading out so far and wide. Cheech, deep, doozy, just give me that box of wine.
No, in right-wing world I'd rather stay. I get allergic round the gay. I just adore to watch Fox News. Darling, I love you, but give me my narrow view.
Black jokes.
White folks.
Wise guys.
Some guys.
You are my wifey.
Goodbye, Bill O'Reilly.
Seth Miller, we are there.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
We can try that one.
We will reconsider that one.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of theme songs, dear God, I don't think we've ever gotten this much mail, which says a lot for this show.
I think you're right.
Our wrongness of our Bewitched references yesterday. just for those just tuning in this hour.
Don't panic.
Diane from Dallas. Steph, your listeners are obviously too young to have ever watched Bewitched. Because we didn't just screw up. A lot of other people screwed up in correcting our screw-ups.
Exactly.
Esmeralda, played by Alice Ghostly, a.k.a. the senator from Maine, Susan Collins.
Right.
Was the nanny hired by the Stevenses after the death of the actress Marion Lorne, who played Aunt Clara.
I liked Aunt Clara.
So I think I screwed that up last hour. I said it was the other way around.
Aunt Clara died and was replaced by Alice Ghostly.
Okay.
Because Aunt Clara was really old.
Right.
I believe Alice Ghostly might still be alive.
She took over the... Oh, you know what? If I have to... Listen, I have enough trouble with Aaron Neville's family, who is still alive and in possession of his mole, so he could not have called Edward Snowden to get his mole back.
I really just talk out of my ass about who's died and who's not.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, boy.
She took over the comic screw-up role. Aunt Clara took over. Okay. And Samantha's evil cousin, Serena, Samantha's mother, and Dora. All right. Oh, somebody gave us a comprehensive Wikipedia thing. Hang on, there's even more fun facts before we move on with the Fourth Amendment and other stuff that may or may not be important to you. The only one of Samantha's relatives for whom Darren shows tolerance is the bumbling, elderly, absent-minded, but lovable Aunt Clara.
Yeah.
Though well-intentioned, Clara's spells usually backfire. Her entrances and exits are often a grand fumble, such as entering via the chimney or colliding with a wall.
I remember that.
Clara. let's see. She has a collection of over 1,000 doorknobs.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that. She kept them in her bag.
Right. Rather than recast the role after Lorne's, the actress was right. Mary Lorne, after Lorne's death in 1968, a similar witch.
Alice Ghostly.
Right.
Which witch?
Good witch. A good witch or a bad witch. The anxiety-ridden and magically inept housekeeper Esmeralda, Alice Ghostly, was introduced in 1969. So Aunt Clara was first, and then she died, and then they replaced her with Esmeralda.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Folger's crystals.
Right. Because that was another Clara screw-up. Oh, no. On Samantha's father's side of the family is her far-out egocentric lookalike cousin Serena,
mm-hmm.
also played by Elizabeth Montgomery. She is credited as Pandora's Box, a spin on the phrase Pandora's Box. from 1969 to 71, Serena is the antithesis of Samantha in most episodes sporting a beauty mark on her cheek, an Edward Snowden mole.
Yeah.
See? Now, if you'd said Serena called... And she needs her mole back.
Elizabeth Montgomery is no longer with us.
Right.
I know that for a fact.
And congratulations for not saying antithesis.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Which could be another character in the
movie. Aunt Clara and antithesis.
Okay, raven-haired crop hair and mod miniskirts. More progressive than typical witches. Oh, she's a liver witch.
Alice Ghostly is dead.
She was a good witch. Of course she is.
Okay. We just got that update.
She's literally ghostly.
Yes.
She's a ghostly ghost. Okay. More progressive than typical witches or warlocks who generally abhor mortals, Samantha's counterculture cousin occasionally dates, including characters played by Jack Cassidy and Peter Lawford. Despite her wild behavior and frequent co-plotting with Endora, Serena often supports Samantha and Darren, even though she finds them both a bit square. Okay, thanks for that. Too much information.
Do they have to be warlocks? Why can't they be peace locks?
Did Uncle Arthur ever date?
I did not know that Serena was a crazy...
I don't think Uncle Arthur ever dated.
He was a confirmed bachelor, like Lindsey Graham.
Sure.
Can you get an elephant drunk?
He was the Lindsey Graham of his day.
But he still won't come up to your apartment.
Okay. Exactly. All right, so thank God that's all been cleared up. I did not realize Serena was the original sexy liberal.
She
How
was.
Exciting. Yeah. How exciting. Did
she was counterculture.
Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. Some more thoughts on the NSA leak. Rachel in New Hampshire. Steph, this is Rachel from New Hampshire. I served in the Navy from 69 to 77, worked in the Naval Security Group activity for the NSA. I haven't worked AT at the NSA for a year. With the high intelligence security clearance that I had and to do my job, I understood I was not to tell anyone what I did, that I worked, what I worked with, and what I knew. Never. It was indoctrinated into me from the time I started working in the security service. This man who leaked this intelligence is a criminal, pure and simple. He signed documents saying he would not divulge any of the things he knew for as much as 10 years after he left the security service. He knew he was breaking the law by doing what he did. It's not up to him or anyone else working in the intelligence community to determine whether or not what they're working with is right or wrong. It just is. It's their job. Imagine if someone working with the D-Day information decided he thought it was wrong to send thousands of men to their deaths on the beaches at Normandy and then leaked the plans to the press before it happened.
Going in at Normandy, not the Pas-de-Calais. What? Was I supposed to say that? Oh, sorry.
That's exactly what this guy did, and whether anyone died because of it or not, he belongs in jail, not held up to some kind of misguided hero worship. Rachel, with a little World War II analogy, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
That out.
Serena looked like Joanne Worley.
I know it. I mm-hmm. was thinking that same thing because she right when she
same
called
here.
Samantha and Darren Square.
Yeah,
that you can't do the.
You're so square. I was thinking that exact thing. Okay, that's weird.
Oh boy.
All right, now you've done it. Now you've tickled the Joanne Worley part of my brain. All right. Yeah, strange bedfellows indeed. John Boehner. Yesterday.
He's a traitor. The president outlined last week that these are important national security programs to help keep Americans safe and give us tools to fight the terrorist threat that we face. The disclosure of this information puts Americans at risk.
By the way,
mm-hmm.
whatever he just said, that activates the lisp a little more, which he's despicable. He said
You're despicable.
I have to hear that soundbite again.
Okay.
There's something in there that activated his lisp more than...
He's a traitor.
Traitor.
The president outlined last week that these are important national security programs to help keep Americans safe and give us tools to fight the terrorist threat that we face.
Right.
The disclosure of this information puts Americans at risk.
Right.
We have
plenty of tools in Congress.
Yeah, well, Boehner being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The terrorist threat is led.
A terrorist threat.
You're despicable.
Despicable.
Okay. Tom in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tom.
Should have told you left in Albuquerque.
Hey, Tom.
It's interesting, this whole NSA thing. Now, apparently, it's going to go into the federal courts. And if there is any undemocratic institution in our federal government, it is the federal courts.
Mm.
It just underscores the importance of who we elect as president and senators. I can see this playing out as a 5-4 vote.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know if you're referring to the ACLU. Has sued senior U.S. Government officials and to challenge the constitutionality of the NSA's telephone surveillance program, saying it violates the rights to free speech and privacy. The suit asked the court to immediately halt the NSA's vast tracking program of telephone calls, declare the program illegal, and order the U.S. government to purge all databases of the call records.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I was torturing Jim with this New Jersey law that they're considering about... obviously involving the Fourth Amendment, the police being able to physically grab your cell phone at the
right.
scene of an accident.
And see if you were texting.
Calling, if you were on the phone or texting, because they've had a huge number of cell phone-related accidents in New Jersey. But anyway, Jim briefly considered whether there was a loophole in that.
In the Fourth Amendment?
Decided against it.
There's nothing that specifically says you can't take someone's cell phone away in the Fourth Amendment.
Right. But anyway...
That is search and unreasonable search and seizure.
Right, without probable cause.
Without probable
but they're
right.
saying, what if there's probable cause?
Yeah.
But anyway, they're saying that law, that would likely wind up at the Supreme Court, too, if they did
but
pass
you can
that law.
See if someone's texting while they're driving.
You have eyewitnesses, but it's not proof.
Well, the other driver could say, oh, you know, they were on the phone or, I don't know.
That's not proof, though. That's, you know, one word against another.
Right. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon. On this.
We sent them the question ahead of time. We indicated to them afterwards there would be an opportunity to amend it. And that's where I'll leave it.
He was talking about whether, you know, he claims that Clapper was not, you know, was not forthcoming with him. By the way, Lindsey Graham says the U.S. Intelligence Service, well-known Southern Belle, the Uncle Arthur of the Senate.
Oh, really?
I'm just saying, he is, technically. He says the U.S. intelligence surveillance of phone records allows analysts to monitor U.S. Phone records for a pattern of calls, even if those numbers have no known connection to terrorism. He says the NSA then matches phone numbers against known terrorists. He helped draft the surveillance law that governs the surveillance program, which is brave of him if, in fact, his cell phone was seized. And, you know, he happened to have a, let's just say, a Grindr app.
Sure.
I'm just saying, I'm just throwing out things that might or may not be on there.
And people could see all of the, I don't know, winks that he sent to McCain on Grindr.
Exactly.
You know. Or whatever.
Nudges, nods. What else are they called?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yes. And then, so anyway, Wyden said the National Intelligence Director did not give him a straight answer last March when asked whether the NSA collects any data on millions of Americans. It was one of those, like, depends on what you mean by collect. I think he said something like not wittingly or something. But anyway, Ron Wyden called for hearings to discuss two recently revealed NSA programs. He was among a group of senators who introduced that legislation yesterday to force the government to declassify opinions of the secret court, the FISA court. Other key members, though, of the House, including the boner who we just played, and Dianne Feinstein, say the programs are valuable tools in counterterror, and the former NSA contractor who leaked them is a traitor. So, yeah, I was saying, boy, some strange bedfellows. So, by the way, Orly Tates is still waiting for an answer on whether I'm going to cite her. Let me finish. Edward Snowden Day. She wants Edward Snowden Patriot Whistleblower Day.
Hmm.
Like, you know, she compares it to Martin Luther King Day.
Really?
What?
Okay. Yes. All right. More on all of this stuff in the NSA.
Tells me she wouldn't be doing that if George Bush was still president.
Yeah. She did not protest the passage of the Patriot Act.
No.
No, but that's when it wasn't the Kenyan that was doing it. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. Well, guess what? All of our worlds have collided. Bewitched, the one theme of the show, and the NSA, the other, with Hack in Colorado. Hi, Hack. Hi, Hack. Welcome.
Yes, Hi, Stephanie. Before I get to that, I just want to say my dream date would be dinner with you and Rachel Maddow.
Oh, a three-way.
By the end of the by the end of the date, I will have left. Self halfway to a PhD.
Yeah, right. Okay, that'll be entirely due to Rachel. But all right, go ahead.
Yeah, one fun fact about Bewitched. One thing. Kravitz was the forerunner of today's NSA.
Oh goodness, hacked me with that phone. But what he was saying is, Mrs. Kravitz was the original NSA, which is funny because she was the Snoopy neighbor of Bewitched. And what's another fun fact?
Who conducted the very last interview with Sandra Gould, the woman who played Mrs. Kravitz?
Before she died?
Before she died?
Who would that be, Jim?
Stephanie Miller.
That's correct. Did I kill her? I will never know.
You interviewed her in like 1999.
I did, and she was delightful. And I had dinner with her once with a bunch of people. She was not that Snoopy in person.
She was lovely in person, she died 2 weeks later.
I apologize. If I had anything to do with that, I don't think
so. You told her something that was highly classified, and you had to kill her.
Perhaps. Yeah. I don't think so. Who can say? Yeah. Okay. We mentioned this yesterday. A new poll by the Pew Research Center.
Pew.
Found Americans generally prioritize the government's need to investigate terrorist threats over the need to protect personal privacy, and most, 56%, considered the NSA's collections of Americans' telephone records an acceptable way for the government to investigate terrorism. A senior U.S. intelligence official said Monday there's no plans to scrap the programs. I mean, because part of the problem, you know, the politicians are looking at the same polls we are. But I have to say, in terms of oversight, Senator Ron Wyden said something I agree with, Democrat of Oregon, Senator Wyden.
It's not possible for the Congress to do the kind of vigorous oversight that the president spoke about if you can't get straight answers. But
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, there's got to be meaningful oversight is, I think, what his point was. So, Representative Adam Schiff, who was right in that chair last week, he said there's very little trust in the government, and that's for good reason. We're our own worst enemy. I think that a lot of people feel like we do certainly need to look at this, and we need to look at oversight, and we need to look at, perhaps even talk. I mean, somebody was mentioning the FISA court being a rubber stamp. And I think that is an issue in this, too. Clapper has ordered an internal review to assess how much damage the disclosures created. Intelligence experts say terrorist attacks and others seeking to attack the U.S. all but certainly will find alternate ways to communicate instead of relying on systems that are now widely known to be under surveillance. Jay Carney said the president is open for discussion about the spy programs, both with allies and in Congress. Senator Marco Rubio.
That some of the media accounts that I've read, based on some of the leaks, do not paint a complete and accurate portrayal of how the programs work.
Yeah, and that we've heard that from others. Mm-hmm. Let's go to John in Wyoming. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi. Here in conservative land, I'm told that in the case of the NSA wiretapping, if I have nothing to hide, then I have no problem.
Right.
How about the reverse of that? If the government has nothing to hide, they should have no problem with their leakers like Bradley Manning.
Well, but John, I get what you're saying, but the point is some stuff. I mean, Al Franken made this argument of all people. He said, you know, if the American people know what I know, then the bad guys know. I mean, the government does have to hide some things like classified intelligence, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
Well, but, you know, some things in the process of educating the public, they're listening too. They're downloading New York Times and watching CNN and.
Right. CNN, I mean, right. You know, Senator Franken, who I trust, obviously said, I've been to all the briefings, I've seen all the intelligence, and he said, the fact is, not everybody should see this. And, if the American people see everything I've seen, then the terrorists see it, then the bad guys see it, too. And so, you know.
Then the terrorists have won.
But the thing is that the whole thing about Bradley Manning is that we've been hiding things from the American people. About the things that are going on.
I also think there's a difference between that and this. Again, as somebody wrote last hour, what is the news in this? Like, this is not wrongdoing in the classic sense. We voted for this, and whether that's right or wrong, we can reexamine.
Well, we didn't really vote for the Patriot Act. Congressmen did.
Right, we voted for the congressmen
who are
our representatives.
Yes. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Dip my nads in cream and lock me in a room full of kittens. Look who's back.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, a little squeezy snack stack before we go.
Snack?
Squeezy stack.
You talking about the kittens again?
I don't want to even speculate what a squeezy snack is. But anyway, Squeezy McField Pants. Utah man says he had sex with unconscious neighbor to save her life.
Sure.
A helper, like you, Jenna.
Sure.
Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my.
What might wake you up?
In some distress.
Oh, my God.
Ew. Okay, we probably shouldn't be joking about this. Police in Utah say a St. George man charged with raping his unconscious neighbor claimed he put his penis inside her to save her life.
Ah, yes, of course.
As you do.
As you do with that magic, magic divine
rod. He's a magic man.
And what was his reasoning?
He said he did place it inside her to try and get her temperature up.
Sure.
Reads the probable cause statement filed.
There's mouth to mouth, and then there's
And of course, you know, there's you create friction.
Well, he was taking her temperature, perhaps.
Yes.
Yes. When officers arrived at the victim's house, they reportedly found him inside the residence performing CPR. He told the cops he had spotted the woman lying unconscious.
He was inside the resident for a while.
Hey! Come on now, this is really not funny. He told the cops he had spotted the woman lying unconscious outside her apartment and proceeded to bring her inside. He then changed her clothes and placed her on the bed.
Because
that's what you do. You're sure. Like, oh, you don't want to be wearing that when you're...
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, that is awful. Let me change
your
clothes.
Not on that dress.
Oh. Kelly says he then held the woman and attempted intercourse to warm her.
Yes. Of course.
Right. According to Kelly, he and the victim had slept together before, but the woman had since informed him that she was no longer interested in having sex with him. So there's that wrinkle.
So it's sort of post-consensual.
Right. Wrong. Okay. so that happened.
And we all let it happen.
In Utah. All right. So we have lots more to talk about in this whole NSA thing. Marcos Melitzas of the Daily Coast, our good friend, joins us now. Hey, Marcos.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I know we have lots to talk about, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the NSA thing first.
you know, it's you know what's really frustrating to me about the whole thing? I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about just how wrong it is to have this sort of program without any meaningful oversight of any sort.
But the
courts aren't looking at it.
I just said that. I said
and
that
lie to Congress about it, right?
Yeah,
so
I said that to Ron.
No oversight.
Right. I said that just before we got you on the phone, Marcus, is that I do agree with Ron Wyden about that you can't do meaningful oversight if you're not getting the right information.
So right. So I don't care how useful this program is. I don't care how vital it is, how benign everybody claims it is. You don't. If it's so benign, then what's the problem with some oversight? Let's have the courts look at it. Let's have Congress look at it, and refusing to do that, which makes me a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
Right. We want oversight, and maybe it's the greatest program since sliced bread. Maybe it thwarted dozens of terrorist attacks. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt if they're willing to open themselves up to oversight. Secret oversight. It doesn't have to be open. It doesn't have to be the New York Times oversight. There has to be somebody looking over their shoulders. But I think what's more disappointing about everything is how sort of blasé the American people is about it. Like you look at the polling, and I'm very poll-centric, right?
Right.
The American people really don't care. And I think there's this sort of sentiment that, you know, I have nothing to hide, so are they going to listen to me talk about my dogs on the phone? And so we don't care.
Well,
and also, I think in a digital era, people have given up on the idea of privacy in general, you know, in the era of Facebook and the internet.
That's right, Marcus. And we were saying, you know, it's interesting. You know, there are strange bedfellows on this issue, and there is enough hypocrisy, you're right, to probably go around. There's a new poll, ABC News, Washington Post poll, I don't know if you saw that, that noted obviously a partisan shift in support when it came to Democrats and Republicans' view on the matter under George Bush or Obama. You know, that's the headline, which Americans support surveillance depends on who's in the White House. And I've admitted to some of that when people have said to me, oh, is just because you didn't trust George Bush and you trust Obama. I'm like, yes, that's part of it. But, I mean, I do think that that doesn't mean that parts of it don't trouble me like it does you.
Yeah, I don't – if you give an executive branch power, they're going to use it. I mean, they're going to push it. It doesn't matter who they are. And you may trust this Democratic administration. And you may think Republicans aren't going to win the White House anytime soon, which is my position. But that doesn't mean somebody can't abuse it, can't take it too far, can't use it to attack their enemies, can't use it. And you know, let's even get the administration out of it. Look at the guy who had access to this information, right? He was a high school dropout.
Right.
He washed out of the military. I mean, this is the kind of people that have access to.
That's
to,
right.
And so even if it had nothing to do with the administration, even if you trust the administration 100% because they're the most perfect, benign, trustworthy administration in the history of the United States, look who has the data. It's not Obama that was sifting through that all this information, right? It was people like the whistleblower.
Right. Well, let me get your take on this, since you are such a, you know, obviously a noted polling expert. 56% of Americans say tracking phone records is acceptable. 41% disagree. Additionally, 62% think, quote unquote, it's more important for the federal government to investigate possible terrorist threat, even if that intrudes on personal privacy. But it is interesting, the partisan stuff, right? It says today, 52% of Republicans said tracking phone records via secret court orders is acceptable, compared to 75% in January 2006. So again, they were okay with it when it was Bush. They're less okay with it now that it's the, you know, the Kenyan.
Yeah, it's you know, in addition to polling, I also spent a lot of time in right-wing sites, and the divide that you're talking about in the Republican side really has come down to the neocons who just think anything having to do with Paris is kosher, right? And they don't care if it's even Obama. And then sort of this new Rand Paul libertarian wing of the party, which is becoming, because Obama's in the White House, has become a lot more fundamentalist on civil liberties. So that's the vibe they're seeing. But when it comes to neocons, they don't care. They don't care who the
right, and right. Has anyone asked Dick Cheney, is which way do you want it now? Is the president a weak on terror socialist or, right?
I don't know about Dick Cheney, but I know Ari Fleischer has already demanded that the White House apologize, that Obama apologize to Bush.
Isn't that rich?
And thank him for giving him these tools.
Isn't that rich? But, and listen, it's on the other side, too, in this same poll, Marcos. For Democrats, 64% said they support phone tracking versus 34% who do not. In January 2006, 36% said it was unacceptable. So, again, to me, we had vast reason not to trust the Bush administration, including that they didn't even bother getting warrants in a lot of the wiretaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's two things at play there. One is that Democrats in general are more trustworthy of the government. I mean, that's why we're Democrats.
Right.
We think government can actually improve your lives. So, but we didn't trust Bush because we have full reason not to trust Bush. Every reason not to trust Bush. So that may be a component. I actually wonder what the numbers would look like if it was a more benign Republican administration, along the lines of maybe George Bush Sr., which, in retrospect, seems a lot more benign than it seemed at the time. So, so I wonder if that has to play. But I know, generally, Democrats really do. I mean, we're not hostile to government in the way that Republicans are. So to me, I was more impressed by the fact that Republicans were so pro-government spying during the Bush years, considering that their whole entire philosophy is predicated on the notion that government can't work and is incompetent.
Yeah. Well, in the New York Times, Julia Lapidos said, sort of echoed that. I said, Democrats may feel that if the Obama administration has decided to continue a Bush-era program, that must mean it's really necessary. That's not hypocrisy exactly, more like a matter of trust, mistrust in leadership. And as I was just saying, this poll shows it's on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Let's talk about another topic, because you've been talking about, it's hilarious, the immigration bill and Ted Cruz. You say your headline is, Ted Cruz outraged that Obama wants an immigration bill to do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yesterday, Ted Cruz was saying that the biggest obstacle to the immigration bill is that President Barack Obama keeps insisting on a pathway to citizenship. Because if you drop that, then this could pass. And I'm not sure what would pass.
If you drop the whole bill, it'll
right.
pass.
And I love what you said. The whole point of the bill is a path to citizenship. You get rid of that, there's nothing left to pass, idiot.
Yeah.
You got a moron here.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, he's a moron. Yeah. You know, to me, what's fascinating about Ted Cruz, and these are some fascinating statistics. If Texas Latinos had voted at the same rate as Texas whites, Mitt Romney's 16-point victory in 2012 over Barack Obama would have been a 5.5-point victory. So it would have been the second closest state that Romney had won. Ted Cruz's 17-point victory would have been a 6-point victory had Latinos voted at the same rate. Now, every year, Latino performance growth, because Latinos are growing, now Latinos are the largest group they're a majority in the Texas public schools. There are 51% of Texas school children are now Latino. Only a third are white in all of Texas. Only a third of school children are white. So every year, Democratic performance, just by base groups, goes up by 1.5 points. That is assuming that those turnout rates remain as crappy as they are today. Which I'm telling you, they're abysmal.
Yeah.
They're abysmal.
Yeah.
So by 2024, just nothing else changes. Just the fact that more Latinos and more Asians are being born and reaching a voting age, by 2024, Texas will be a purple state. It will be.
Wow.
Now, that will be a lot sooner. If Latinos were to start voting, that could be by 2016, 2020. Texas
wow.
would be purple. So if nothing
What an election night that'll be if you see Texas go blue in 2016. Oh, hilarious.
I mean, if Hillary Clinton runs, Texas will go blue in 2016. I mean, she's leading in the polling in Texas right now.
Wow.
That is hilarious. Just the landmass alone, just watching that on election night all go magically blue.
Watch Carl Rove.
It would be
Rove's head explode on Fox News.
it would be pretty awesome. So if Republicans lose Texas, they could actually win Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, Iowa, Florida, Virginia.
There you go.
And they would still lose the election. So it is, they cannot win without Texas. Bottom line, they cannot win without Texas. So nothing else.
Wow.
They should be for this immigration bill because of Texas.
You have put me back in a happy, clappy mood. Marcos Melitzas of Daily Coast, we love you. Talk to you real soon, honey. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
All righty. Bye-bye. Yeah. Wow. Just imagine. This just in. Texas has gone for Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
Carl, if you thought Carl Rove had a meltdown last election on Fox News, woo! That would be a thing of beauty to watch. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sean in Maryland on the NSA situation. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
My take on the NSA situation is everybody is starting to give up all their rights and liberties and everything under the umbrella of terrorism.
Right.
If the government was so worried about terrorism, why have they gotten it wrong so many times? 9/11, they supposedly knew of the threat that we were supposed to have, did nothing. The recent bombing in Boston, they knew of the guys that were the ones that supposedly did it.
Right,
did
but
nothing.
I think those are two entirely different situations, 9/11 and the Boston.
Well, they're collecting information, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, I hear what you're saying. My point is there were other things involved. I mean, obviously, 9/11 was the worst intelligence failure in our history, and you got to give a lot of the blame to that, to the Bush administration. They had a million different warnings, and, you know, Boston is a little more, I get what you're saying. If they're intercepting everything, why didn't we catch that? But there also has a lot to do with Russia and what they shared with us and what they didn't. And, you know, so anyway, Rocky Mountain Mike has graced us with what now?
The hyperactive NSA.
All right, great.
I want to tell you all about a hyperactive office full of spies. Who had a teenage daughter to continue tapping phones both day and night? Well, this guy, you know, he spilled the beans and then he left the country just today. He said Obama got a note here about the hyperactive NSA. Well, the note said to America, your phone call frequency is way too high. It's reported you've been thinking about running around with Arabs going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be continuing to surf your porn this way. And it was signed by the Secretary, Hyperactive NSA.
Yay!
Talk about Mike. You
and Mary in Ann Arbor on both sides.
Mary in Ann Arbor. We've been talking about all morning this thing in New Jersey because I just wanted to make Jim Ward's head explode, which I think I... There's a law they're considering that the cops would be able to seize your cell phone at the scene of a car crash to see if you've been texting or talking on the phone. And, you know, obviously, ACLU saying the same thing about the Fourth Amendment in that sense. But, you know, it's interesting. We've been talking about this all morning. And this one, I'm just reading online, using voice commands to send text messages and emails from behind the wheel, which is marketed as a safer alternative for drivers, actually is more distracting and dangerous than simply talking on a cell phone, according to a new AAA study. Huh?
How can it be more distracting?
I'm just telling you what the...
That's what the government says.
Oh, well, it must be true, then.
Jim Ward wants to be judge and jury in Jim Ward's America. Oh, actually, I'm using the wrong music. In Jim Ward's America, you would not be able to have emotional conversations and gesticulate.
That's the fallacy of the idea that talking on the phone is just as distracting as texting. It's nonsense. If you're just saying, look, I'm running a few minutes late, I'll be there in 10, I'll call you when I get there.
Right.
Boom, done. And you during that time, you still have situational awareness. You can look in your glance at your mirrors, see what's in front of you and behind you. But if you're in a long, involved, drawn-out conversation, that's very different.
Right.
You're obviously not paying attention to you.
I just was positing, men and women, different judges of what's an emotional conversation and what just is normal intimacy.
Missing the point entirely.
Okay.
Normal
so are you,
intimacy?
Because...
intimacy while you're driving? Really?
Wow.
No, that's not distracting?
That was a peek into your psyche.
Wow.
All right. I'm just saying there are different that you said the same thing. It just that's the problem with this New Jersey thing is because you go. Someone was saying even if you seize the phone, you can't prove that what you were doing exactly was the distraction that caused the crash. Is my point.
But if you see someone actually texting while they're driving, you know exactly what caused the crash.
Right, right. Oh boy, Jim's bugaboo. Okay, Jill, he was looking for a loophole in the Fourth Amendment for that one.
Wait till you get hit by someone texting while driving, and then you'll say, hey!
I agree.
Ow!
I gave up my right to be decapitated when I decided to obey the seatbelt law. Hello, Jill in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Hello, peeps. This is especially for my reality poutine, Mr. Ward. Yes. When 9/11 happened, why weren't the jet fighters there? They were on war games. Who's in charge of war games?
President Cheney.
And Bose Allen. I'm just going to supply the dots. You guys connect them any way you want.
Hmm.
And who owns Bose Allen?
Interesting.
The Carlyle Group.
I knew that. I said that yesterday.
Yeah, they're a major stock owner.
Right. And who's very much affiliated with the Carlyle Group? The Bushes.
Yep. And what was in Building 7? Financial records.
You got Jim wound up. Okay.
From the financial records about things like, Harkin Energy, which involved the Bush family.
Alan in Texas. Hi, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, on this NSA thing, I can see the pros and cons, both sides of it. I can see anybody can make a good argument for it and an argument against. But, you know, like Lindsey Graham and John Boehner, you know, they say, you know, if you don't have nothing to worry about, you know, don't worry about it if you didn't do nothing wrong. But yet, at the same time, you know, they don't mind you getting private information, which steps all over the Fourth Amendment. But yet, when it comes to buying a gun, they don't want you collecting public information, which you could actually hurt somebody with, you know, protecting Americans. So...
exactly. I said that. There's hypocrisy to go around. Speaking of Booz Allen, they confirmed that Edward Snowden is fired.
You're fired.
What? What did he do? He did overstate. He did misstate his salary. He said $200,000. They said $122,000.
Okay. Maybe that's after taxes.
Oh, sure. Okay.
I don't think, as a rule, they give out net tax.
James Clapper. What? He sought to reassure private contractors. He said, contractors are an integral part of our workforce and critical to our national security efforts. And that's been part of our discussion. Is it time to break? I think it is.
Yes,
okay. That's part of our discussion about private contractor part of this. And we will continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks on his way in. I know, no one panic. Just a lot of lawyer discussions, figuring out about theme songs, things like that. Rocky Mountain Mike reminds us that we have some already.
Sexy liberal family from the town of Burbank. It's the great. greatest show in history. Let's ride with the books that are sublime. Yeah. Through the courtesy of some box wine. When you're with the Stepstones, have a bar for Aquila Fleur time. Aquila Fleur time. Your eyes should void in time.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
That one's a little doughy.
Under consideration. I love it. Speaking of sexy liberals, why?
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Oh, yeah.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Ah, good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm spectacular. Yeah. Very exciting. Very exciting. So much news.
Yes.
Right.
Where do you
right.
even start?
Right. What's your thoughts on the whole NSA thing?
Here's the this is the interesting thing. I don't know if anybody remembers that there was a South Park episode where about the iTunes contract, where they realize that they're like, I'm sorry, you've sold your soul to the devil and all these other elements because
right.
everybody knowingly went dink and you know. My difficulty with the NSA thing is that, and I appreciate that Ron Wyden is calling for
right. more oversight.
Yeah,
yes.
great.
Yes.
And for calling for hearings about what they were told to make sure they were told what they should have been told.
Right.
Because yeah. there now seems to be some discrepancies between what Clapper said then and what is
right.
coming out of the
well,
NSA now.
He said, are you collecting data from millions of
right.
men? He said,
No. I'll tell you why. Because they're not this is the rub. This is how they get around
manually.
That conversation. This is what he meant by least untruthful. No, they're not collecting it. They're housing it for a temporary amount of time during like what would be a sifting period. The same way that, by the way, when you erase an email from Gmail
right.
or Apple mm-hmm. or any of these other things, they hold it on the server for months just in case you call tech support and go, somebody broke into my account and
right.
started erasing my emails or got stuff, and you can always call it back. So there's a period to which you can do that, about 3 months usually on these things, sometimes bigger,
mm-hmm.
depending on how much you pay for your account or how much space you have. The government's basically doing the exact same thing with a giant kind of microscopic hold net, catching
right.
everything all at once, having it sit in these servers for kind of an
right.
undisclosed amount of time. And technically, that's how he got around it. They're not collecting it. They're just kind of sitting on it for a time until there's
right.
a new chunk of information coming in, and then they'll move that out.
Right. And I do get, as technophobic as I am, I do get that there's a difference between metadata and listening to your phone calls
yes.
and reading your emails. I mean, you know, so I get that.
Right. The interesting thing about the collection for the NSA is that they are literally found a way either, I don't know how big these servers are. I can only imagine that there's a floor of the Pentagon about 6 miles below the Earth's
right.
crust that glows at night and goes, and everybody there is, I don't know, is your hair falling out in patches? My hair's falling out in patches.
Seem to keep my food down.
Right, exactly.
I just think I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. You don't work on floor 5B76 section, do you?
Yeah,
sort of. Why do you say that? Because your tooth just fell in my soup. There's an element where this technology is...
Blink.
Yeah, is a big deal. But here's the thing. Google, Apple, Yahoo, all these companies have their own version of it.
Their terms of service.
Well, they even have their own version of these servers.
Mm-hmm.
They have to.
Right.
Because if there's a tech issue or they need to rebuild the server overnight or if Facebook collapses, and it can through a denial of service
right.
attack or a lot of different elements, they need the ability to switch servers and turn it back on in a relatively short amount of time. That means all of the stuff that's housed on Facebook, every message you've ever sent on Facebook, is on two servers.
Mm-hmm.
Just involving Facebook. Now, we know that they tie everything into everybody else, your Gmail account and your Instagram, and everything can be linked to it. So that means their secondary and secondary servers beyond that. Any tech person at Google, Apple, whatever, can, if you call up with your email address and go, I think I lost a bunch of stuff, they can feed right through and look at everything
right.
in your file just through request. This is not, there's no government oversight. This is a corporation doing this.
Right.
So this fear that somehow the government's doing it.
I think there's really only one answer that brings us all together, and that is get Carbonite. And please type Stephanie in the box, won't you?
Right. There's
well,
another
then, now,
example.
Then it'll be on three servers.
Exactly.
Instead of just two.
Yeah. Exactly. But at least it's when it's compression, you have control over it, and it's password protected.
Yes.
I mean, arguably
and it's encrypted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, but that's therein lies the rub, that everything that they're capturing, the corporate version of whatever you're using, has already captured it at least twice and is sitting on it, and it can be accessed not by somebody who's taken an oath of office, mm-hmm. who's gotten security clearance, even though it's Snowden, right. That's the problem with the thing is,
We were saying how there's a lot of issues here. There's a lot of strange bedfellows on this issue. Mm-hmm. A lot of different opinions, which brings us to today's hate letter. Because, you and I get called Obama apologists every day. And this is not an easy, when you have Al Franken. Mm-hmm. Someone was saying that mm-hmm. Glenn Beck and Michael Moore both tweeted hero at the same time yesterday about Snowden. And obviously plenty of people think he's the traitor. So anyway, here. This is a stick up the butt liberal. Comments about you and your show from Eric. Stephanie, it's been about a month since I listened to your show and I'm doing fine. Could quit me as it turns out. Well, fine.
Yeah, right.
Fine, go.
I wish I could quit you.
I've been listening to true liberal programming, such as Democracy Now! As Canadian radio and Tom Hartman. Uh-huh. Yep. It's nice to hear about the truth rather than the gushings of an Obama apologist. I don't miss Jackie, John, and Pam, and your mooks. Oh, everybody got caught in the crossfire there.
Wow. Many people don't miss me.
Your problem is you don't want to hear from those on the true left, those true liberals and progressives who care about the country enough to seek out real solutions to our problems. There's only one kind of liberal, Hal, and I am not the right kind.
No, obviously.
And apparently you there's only one kind of solution.
The kind of liberal who will hate everyone on a show because of the singular opinions of one of the people on. Yeah. That kind of liberal.
You also have to stop calling yourself an animal lover. You may be a dog lover, but there are other animals in this world who need your kindness, too. Okay.
Is this the PETA?
Just because I only happen to own dogs.
Vipers.
Vipers.
Okay. A militant vegan.
If I don't love vipers as equally as dogs, then I'm not a true
animal. Then you're an evil person.
Then you're a bastard person, and I hate your ass face.
If you want to stay on the air as a liberal, I guess he's in charge of that, you need to become one. You're too centrist to see and accept the truth. For me, I'll never vote Democrat again. I'd rather vote with my values instead of following the dangerous and mind-numbing status quo. The real solutions are with the parties on the left, like the Green Party. You have a lot to learn. Good luck. Slam.
Okay. Good luck getting a Green Party candidate.
Well, in a parliamentary democracy, you
can do that. The rod up that man's butt must have a rod up its butt.
In a parliamentary democracy, the Green Party can be a coalition partner.
We don't have.
No, we don't have that.
That would be lovely. Tier voting would be a big boon in this country. It would help solve a lot of problems if you had your second choice candidate as a possibility, so you didn't always have to, I'm wasting a vote kind of moment. Mm-hmm. You might actually have some more diversity in the system. I'm just throwing that out there. It's probably 10 years away. Earliest.
Yeah, very earliest.
Can I just say, I think Randy Rhodes and Tom Hartman, both good liberals. We are an all-inclusive Big Ten party. We actually are.
The interesting part of this, there was a story yesterday. There was 1,000% rise in the FISA requests for NSA surveillance data under Obama than there was under Bush. Well, they weren't asking under Bush at all.
Right.
The reason there's a rise in them going to the FISA court is because the Obama administration is actually going to the FISA court.
That was our point.
The Bush administration said, we're not going to the FISA court. And in the last
screw the FISA court.
Said, we're not talking to Congress either. If they give you a subpoena, ignore it. This is the same guy who said they should subpoena Hillary Clinton over Benghazi recently, Dick Cheney. So I am a big fan of congressional oversight of this particular thing, but the idea that we're going to have public hearings about any of our spying programs is the most ridiculous notion in the world. We need to have oversight of these things. But the idea we're going to go, we wouldn't have them over troop positions. Why would we have them over intelligence gathering capabilities?
Yeah. Well, and
your people in the North Korean government? Where are you getting your information from?
What are their names?
Somebody made a good point earlier.
Hold up a picture.
It's not up to one guy to decide all these issues for the country. They were saying, what if somebody leaked the information about Normandy before? I've decided that's not right. And it's like,
it's interesting.
Really?
Snowden's language about his video where he said he had the authorization to go into this into the servers and look at anybody he wanted to and tap the phones of whomever he wanted to or read the emails of the president or whatever. Ability and authorization are two different things. And certainly the people who work on those servers and work on that machinery should have the ability to do it because that's their job. Your IT guy has the ability to look at all your correspondence in the business. But he has to get permission from your boss to actually go into the server to do that. This works the same way. My problem is all the independent contractors.
That's what we talked about right before the break. Is a lot of people are like, how did that guy get access to this.
Right.
And you, if it's only 3 months you work there, he must have been planning to do this. What, he got disgruntled on, what, day two? And so I'm going to leak, you know. The, yeah. I mean, I...
But this is what really insidious, though, that private companies are taking on all this responsibility. They have no accountability.
Exactly. Right. They don't swear an oath like soldiers right. do, or people who are actually in the intelligence right. community yeah. do.
It's like Blackwater.
Right.
You know, exactly. you couldn't hold them accountable.
Exactly. And this is a bigger
America
issue.
America doesn't go for booms.
For profit prisons.
Right. I don't have as much of a problem with people who have taken an oath to protect the country against enemies, right. foreign and domestic, being able to access emails and tech, you know, that information to try and stop a terrorist act if that's what they're, you know, intending
right.
to do, versus some subcontractor
yeah.
who houses their business office in the Cayman
well,
Islands.
And this is what we bitched about during the Iraq War, is that what Blackwater was doing in our name.
Right.
And saying we're Americans and we're doing this.
Exactly. And what's the difference in
right.
this regard? I think
right.
I think this should actually, part of this conversation would be that not only should the technology that we're using be built in the United States, just for like safety's
yeah.
sake.
Just for and giggles.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's get Pam in New Hampshire in real quick before the break. Hey, Pam, go.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
God, the hypocrisy is just amazing. And all I want to say is Congress makes the laws, Obama passes the laws. And if Ron Wyden wanted to filibuster this, if he felt so strongly with him being on the intelligence, he could have filibustered. I feel fine with it. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. I think that's interesting because there's a lot of that feeling out there is this kind of shrug of...
Well, if you look at the polls, yeah.
Yeah, the expectation of privacy, yeah.
All right, we got to take a break and much more on this. We've barely wound up the Hal box.
I know.
18 minutes after the hour, right back.
Only getting started.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Better than
girl.
In the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong. Meaner than the junkyard dog.
Yes, indeed. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Cindy in New York with some thoughts on my hate letter. Hi, Cindy.
Yes, you just read the letter from the true liberal.
Right.
The GOP is in the middle of all of these scandals, whether it be the Benghazi, whichever one you want to throw up there. It
right.
always goes back to a GOP operative somewhere in there. And they've been throwing things out there like spaghetti on a refrigerator mm-hmm. trying to get one to stick. And this true liberal has fallen for it. They're just trying, the GOP is trying to rip apart the Democrats, the solidarity of the liberal base. And it's succeeding. They finally bit. They're finally, they got the far left all riled up, and they're going to rip off.
I heard that conspiracy snossage somewhere. The Carlyle Group is the biggest stakeholder in Booz Allen, and they're saying this is a plot
yeah.
to you know, dispirit Obama's base so that, you know, for 2014.
Right. They're trying the Tea Party ripped apart the GOP.
Yeah, the only problem with that is that all the Congress people, anybody who, you know, like, there's as much freak out on the libertarian right as there is on
yeah.
the far left, because mainly it's extreme versions of any political thought will always, whether it's true or not, feel targeted first. The big fear from, you know, if you're Alex Jones and Glenn Beck, or if you're, you know, Dennis Kucinich or whatever, and you
right.
know, all we have to think, there's plenty of examples of that happening. Look at all the liberal groups who were anti-war during the Bush administration, who were fighting the Iraq War, who were being infiltrated and you know, having FBI agents and the like showing up at their things going, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm Gary. Why do you have an earpiece, Gary? Oh, these are great brownies. What's in them? that kind of thing. It was an issue. And so when this stuff comes up, that's the first people to get really freaked about it, because they have this idea that they're important enough, and it's FEMA camp time for whoever's side
right.
you're on.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we can all still agree that Rand Paul, douche. Okay. Martin in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Stephanie. I want to say thank you. I'm glad to be on your show, and you are a true patriot. And I just want to make a comment about the whole Snowden whistleblower thing. Not to sound like a recovered Catholic sl/ now Buddhist, but, you know, once you blow the whistle, you blow the whistle. You can't suck back into the whistle and undo what you did. I think everybody needs to focus on who hired this guy, and the company that hired this guy needs to lose their damn contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a, well, that's a good point. And the whole thing, you know, how we were saying that, that's, there's something off about it. That it's,
right.
I mean, was he planning to do this? How do you only, how do you get that clearance? How do you only work there 3 months and then this happens?
Well, right. The corporatization of our defense is a very scary effect, as, you know, on all fronts. Because again, an oath is not perfect. And obviously, I mean, you only look to the Fort Hood shooting to know that just because somebody takes an oath to protect the country doesn't mean they're always going to act in the right interest. But that's a baseline honor level that you should have when you're dealing with kind of sensitive things. Because I feel much more comfortable if there is a need to, for the gathering of this kind of stuff, temporarily as it is.
But if your oath is to a corporation
that
has profits, then...
Or the next one that will hire you, or the one after that. Or you've got, you know, or somebody else... And talk about clandestine. Corporations that deal in clandestine information, poaching employees from each other. Hey, while you're in there, I mean, there's, to some degree, as much as it might be that the Carlyle Group owns Booz Allen, and that's, you know, part of their trying to hamstring the Obama administration, it could just very well be that another company at the time was just poking into those things, and he's just kind of one example. My issue with it is that farming out part, where there's just I trust soldiers and people in office more so than I do a regular corporate employee who's just been handed these things and it kind of signs a waiver like he would do a non-disclosure agreement when he's working on an Xbox game.
Right, and then you got some 20-year-old somebody that decides that it's up to him. It's not up to the president, Congress, the Supreme Court. It's up to him what's, you know,
well,
should be done or shouldn't, or what's good or bad.
He didn't actually, and again, I think it's important to have whistleblower protections. I think it's incredibly important that when somebody knows that a crime is being committed very specifically, that they, and they can't, through the chain of command, they know that it won't
reach
the
job. Right, but that's what I've always said.
Example,
where is the crime here?
Hell,
this is the Patriot Act. This is what, you know, we, through our representatives, agree to, whether it's right or wrong, and we need more oversight, we need to look at it. That's fine. But
the attention is terrific.
What did he blow the whistle on?
Exactly. The attention is terrific, and we need to repeal the Patriot Act and put in place more comprehensive and intelligent intelligence gathering and security measures.
Now that we've had 10 years to think
about
it.
Exactly, exactly. And we're not doing it under duress and panic.
Right. Yeah.
But the idea that Sensenbrenner and some of the other people who wrote it, and then other senators who voted for it at the time, are somehow clutching their pearls and shocked in front of these committees and going, we need answers, is absurd. Because, again,
yeah,
it's offensive.
And some Republicans have even said that. We need to rethink this, you know, in the panic that was after 9/11. We need to, Michael in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Michael.
Hey there, sexy liberal mama.
Oh, hello.
Hey.
He's talking
you
to
know,
Jim, by the way. Wow.
Don't make me laugh. The thing is that it's two things coming down to this. Number one, as I'm sure you have reminded everyone, this is the crap that was started by Bush and company. At the time of Bush and Cheney, I really don't think everyone was being wiretapped. I think that the GOP's the same knuckleheads that kept saying, you got to sacrifice your rights for the safety of this nation. Yeah, they weren't being wiretapped, but then now they're bitching and moaning now that Obama's in office, and it's like you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. And it also comes down to their idea of less government, less government. Think about it, my dear friends. I think their idea of less government is no accountability and full immunity.
Yep, good points. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show. God, I was so into you.
Stephanie Miller.
I never missed a broadcast of that controversial pirate radio station you ran out of your basement.
Pump up the volume.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's when we first started using those old-timey jingles,
that's
remember?
Right.
Yeah.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Sexy liberal Stephanie Miller. Chris LaVore. Boys meeting. Jim Ward, Lee LaFleur, Park, Sheboygan, lots of wine drinking, radio slag, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Okay.
What do those people look like?
See your Buick dealer today.
Right, exactly. Whatever they're wearing.
Now we have, those were old-fashioned jingles. Now
lots
we have
of
new,
neutral tones. Sorry.
Now we have new fancy and sponsored, like go to mypc.com. Oh. Hal, one listener posited that this might be the most holic way to break up with a girlfriend ever.
Yes.
I was looking at the chick point of view, and she moved to Hawaii to be with him. Pole dancer. Beautiful girl.
Well, uh-huh. And there was some dispute as to whether she was an actual pole dancer. ABC News found footage of her pole dancing.
Yes.
So she is an actual pole dancer.
She was an acrobatic pole.
Okay.
Enthusiast.
Okay.
She likes Mika Brzezinski.
Right.
Yeah. And where did she do this? Did they have
in
a...
Hawaii. In Hawaii. But,
okay. She moved to Hawaii with him.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Cool.
Yeah, and he didn't tell her anything, and he just skedaddled.
Okay.
Fast person.
I would say, I guess her indication, the moral aspect of her job shouldn't factor in at all in this. People's ideas of whether or not that's
important. Is that what she did for a living? I wasn't sure of that.
Or was she just taking a class and doing one of those,
she was...
Recital.
There was footage of her pole dancing in an establishment.
Right, but again, there's a place where the pole dancing classes perform.
However, how did a guy like that...
Get a girl like
land
that.
A pole dancer.
You're kidding, right?
Really? What?
You're kidding, right?
Yeah, no.
First of all, he looks like
He looks like an ITT tech.
No, he doesn't. He looks like an indie guitar player in Maroon 5. And
no.
He does. He's got chin scruff. He doesn't look like he's Revenge of the Nerds escapee at all.
Really,
secondly,
needs to be checked.
He makes $200 and a quarter a year.
No, 122.
Said only 122.
Only, okay,
Booz
sorry.
Allen said.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. He makes 122 a year.
Which isn't
not
bad.
Yeah, nothing to sneeze
Listen,
at.
We are burying the lead this morning, and that is that Buzz Aldrin says he hates Tang.
Right.
Well, after a while.
And as Jim pointed out, he was married 3 times.
Hey!
Hey, I would think he's kind of a lover.
Really?
Tang.
What?
Really?
What?
This is what happens when I show up late.
Yes.
Sorry. Actually, the astronauts had a little problem because the water they were using had bubbles in it, so they really got the...
Oh.
The tangier kind of tang.
Oh,
right.
Sure, right.
Exactly. Tang, all right.
Yeah. That thing, I think there's audio of one of them going, I have to crap in my suit again because it's damn oranges you sent up here. And that's where they started the tang situation, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, there's other stuff
A little
stuff
less
going
fiber.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. No, they have very low bulk food for the astronauts.
Yeah.
For that
one
very reason.
Hope. One would hope. All right, the immigration reform bill has passed its first test on the Senate floor. The president.
I know there's a lot of talk right now about border security, so let me repeat. Today, illegal crossings are near their lowest level in decades. And if passed, the Senate bill, as currently written and is hitting the floor, would put in place the toughest border enforcement plan that America has ever seen.
That's what we need to build a dang fence.
Exactly, yeah.
Only Republicans, by the way, voted to block the bill from moving forward. There she is, the pole dancer. Yeah,
good for her. She's not the pole dancer. The woman has a name, and that's just what she did. It's ridiculous. She's fully clothed.
Lindsay.
This is nonsense. Anyway,
Lindsay is her name.
Say, there you go.
Mills.
She went by L on her blog.
There
right.
you go. Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're not serious about immigration reform, the president said, if you think that a broken system is the best America can do, then I guess it might make sense to try to block it. But if you're actually serious and sincere about fixing a broken immigration system, this is the vehicle to do it. So we knew this was going to happen. There's never going to be enough border security. They're going to need to bring Herman Cain in to talk about what, maybe electrified fence with alligators and also,
force field.
Right. Sharks with laser beams.
Here's another aspect of how Republicans govern. Not only do they want to reinforce the border with all this extra stuff, they want to know about it. They want to explain it. They want to have everybody so they can pat themselves in the back in front of their constituency and go, look, we've got infrared sensors. We've got trackers that run from, what time is it? From 7:30 to 2:30 every night to make sure nobody crosses the border. We've got anything that can seek. Anybody in a white T-shirt will be seen immediately. So why don't you just tell everybody who wants to sneak across the border every aspect of how you're doing border security. This is how tall the wall is. This is how deep the foundation goes.
Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday.
Senator Cornyn, I think, has got, in my view, the key amendment to put us in a position where we can actually look at the American people with a straight face and say, we are going to secure the border.
Okay, straight face? Never mind.
All right. And
I think we should trap them all in a giant terrarium.
Right.
He and his relatives would never make it across the border. They move too slow.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll never catch me.
Right.
Okay.
You'll never catch me, copper. Copper world.
I'm hot today. Here we go.
And the elfin Senator Jeff Sessions briefly ceased making cookies in his tree to say.
Those in the Gang of Eight, and I know they want to do the right thing and have worked hard.
But they got off on the wrong track.
Mm-hmm. They made fun of my ears.
They wanted to make life easier and get the people who have been here and who live here to start paying taxes and become above-the-line members of the American community instead of below-the-line members of the American community. And they focus far too much on that and not putting heat-sinking missiles on the Mexican border. So that from a certain stretch, from a part of California to part of Arizona or part of Texas, like not even the entire, what are you going to do? They're just going to get boats and come around the outside of it to some degree. We're at net zero immigration through the border.
Yeah. Marco.
Rubio.
Yeah.
I refuse to accept the idea that the most powerful country on earth, the nation that put a man on the moon, is incapable of securing its own border.
Mm.
Our sovereignty is at stake in terms of border security.
Okay.
Is it capable of giving me a bottle of water that I can actually reach when I'm on the darn television?
Listen up. The use of power is not the highest level of a free country. And the creation of a completely non-porous border means the elimination of our rights as human beings to some degree. Like the ability that you would put guys with guns up there and just shoot anybody who comes too close to the border, which is what it would take.
That's what they did in East Germany.
Right. To finalize and lock the border turns us into East Germany, turns us into a different country.
And Ed Snowden says we're East Germany now.
Right. So. It's not about power in that instance. You actually have to have the strength to use your power well. Right. That's what we're arguing about NSA. That's what we're arguing about Iraq.
Senator, all right. And scene. Senator Kelly, Senator Kelly Ayotte, the only Republican that will vote for this, as it turns out, fresh from doing the wrong thing on gun control. Yeah.
This is a thoughtful, bipartisan solution to a tough problem. And so that's why I'm going to support it.
Wow. Yeah, she's going to support it because she's seen the numbers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. John and...
Because I want to be reelected.
Fresh from a meeting with my pollsters, I've discovered what the right thing to
do
is.
Yeah. I've got a complete change of heart.
Oh, my God. By the way, Marcos Melitzis earlier was saying that there is a very good chance, because of the Hispanic vote, that Texas is going to go blue in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
That's 2016. And then you know what? Karl Rove is not only going to hit his head, will not only explode on Fox News on Rex tonight, he will bitch slap Megyn Kelly into the next election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Reilly will have to send the Fox police to pull Karl Rove off Megyn Kelly.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain Megyn Kelly could take him, too. Especially the look in her eyes a couple times when she's had to interview these numbskulls, trying to defend Lou Dobbs and Eric Erickson.
That was good. John in Chicago, you're on with Hal. Hi, John.
Hi, I just want to make sure I'm understanding the whole deal with the Snowden guy. So he may or may not look like a guy in Maroon 5. He's making $122,000 a year. He's got a super hot girlfriend who's a pole dancer in Hawaii, and he runs away from it. I mean, I cannot imagine how terrible what the government must be doing is. I mean, it terrifies me that a guy would run away from all of that. Just tells me the government must be torturing puppies.
Right. Well, that's the funny thing is that basically what he ended up leaking was the mechanics of an organization that Congress already knows about. And whether the American public knows it or not, let's be completely honest for a second. Like, I think we need to rethink the Patriot Act. It needs to be gutted and rebuilt. No question whatsoever. Yeah. The idea behind a lot of these programs needs to go. And with them, these programs. But the idea that you would somehow get extra points for just kind of releasing information. It wasn't that the NSA he found out the NSA was gathering all this stuff, sitting on it, and going through people's voting records and starting to categorize them, or that there was ever any intention of doing so, or any of that stuff. He didn't actually find that. He just found the server, which he worked on as a private contractor.
Yeah. By the way, we're burying the big lead, and that is that Jeannie in Orange County is going to see Hal this weekend in Brea.
Yes, it's
Brea.
Hello,
Jeannie.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Hal.
Hello.
Oh, listen, I drive by that beautiful face of yours twice a day. I am so excited.
Oh, you have a drive-by face?
A lot of people say
hot.
Wow.
But listen, this is my husband's Father's Day present.
This is a drive-by
perving. Nice to me.
Great.
Wow. Isn't that nice to me?
Yes.
And, it's but
very
I
sweet of you to bring him.
Officially,
I need to officially welcome you to this Republican bastion. So my daughter and my husband and I have to be front row and center.
Yes.
We just got to make sure you are as welcome as can be. I can't wait.
Wow.
Thank you for coming to
Where will Hal be performing?
At the Brea Improv this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Please, spoon him behind the orange curtain for me, won't you?
Yes.
Well, listen, Steph, I did something pretty good, too, for the Sexy Liberal in L.A.
What'd you do?
I dragged my husband for our 42nd wedding anniversary. Ooh. Wasn't that good?
Yes.
You're a good girl. Good girl.
It's amazing that we send her around her holidays. It was nice of us to perform only when there seems to be some sort of family gathering or a personal holiday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Happy to do it. All right,
big sexy little Christmas special.
6 minutes after the hour. We'll be back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stop it, you're too cute.
Very disco.
It is.
I hear it's making a comeback.
Stephanie Miller. Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hal Sparks will be filling in for us, not next week, but the week after.
Yes.
That's right.
We will be on vacation, and
we will see
when the Prop 8 ruling comes down. We were hoping next week, but everything always happens when we're gone, so we'll see. But a new poll out. Hal, you've probably seen this.
Yep.
Jim, nearly 60%, 6 in 10.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to that. Yeah.
Californians are now in favor of legalizing same-sex marriage. And it's the big news out of this poll, Hal, is it's across the board. Religion, ethnicity, age, religion.
And the other four are Marcus Bachman.
Right.
Right.
Speaking
of polling enthusiasts.
There's a certain...
Oh, really?
What happened? it is interesting that that 4 in 10 group, the reasoning behind it is a very porous argument, and that's why it's slipping, you know, and shifting so quickly over time. Is that when really confronted with it, it's very easy. Most of them will just draw a religious line and stop there, you know, or an ick factor, and then they're done.
But you know, it's the thing we've talked about. First of all, generationally, over and over, and 76% of voters, 18 to 29, support legalizing gay marriage. The shifts among older voters are dramatic. Voters 65 and older are now almost evenly divided, 46% in favor, 47% against, compared with 3 years ago when seniors opposed gay marriage by almost 20 points.
Right.
So that's actually huge.
There has
been an across-the-board sea change on this issue. Here's something I had forgotten. As in the rest of the country, more women, 63% than men, 52% in California favor same-sex marriage. And Nick Fund, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Quoted in the story, 44, a maintenance worker in Fresno. This sums up why. Attributed his consistent opposition to his Pentecostal Christian beliefs. He said, "I don't believe it's right for a man and a man to be together." Like Bill Maher says, he don't say anything about the girls.
Yeah, exactly.
We say we're against gay marriage. We don't mean the girls. He said, "It's not that I don't like them personally. I just don't like that particular thing."
I just don't like them.
How about that, Nick? How about you don't do that particular thing then?
Yeah.
But the knowledge that somebody is doing it creeps them out.
Right. Yes,
because
exactly.
It feels like his rights have been violated.
Like, what if I was right next to it? What if they were just... What if one of their arms touched mine?
Right? And
then,
ew!
What if music started playing?
Ain't no stopping us now.
Suddenly,
what if I actually learned to like Lady Gaga?
Yeah, right. What if it's
as in other polls, knowing someone who is gay matters. Voters who say they know gays are more likely to support legalizing. I had a friend the other day said, "Oh, I don't think anyone in my family knows anyone gay." I'm like, they do.
That means you have a gay member of your family.
Yeah.
If you don't have any gay friends, it means somebody in your family is gay because they're the one running off all the other gays so that they don't either get found out or don't start acting on their feelings.
Like James Inhofe with his fabulous chart on the Senate floor showing that there's nothing icky in his family and his genetic line ever.
Right.
Nothing divorce or homosexuality.
That's just inviting an investigation.
And we were just saying, if you shake that Inhofe family tree, I bet you some pink fruit's going to fall down.
Drop right out of there in the most fabulous way possible.
Maybe he's going to plant his own new tree, because it's usually that's the case.
Marion Mann,
mm-hmm.
homemaker in Ventura County, said, basically, we're all human beings and we all need to be treated as such. I want to gay marry her. She said she considers same-sex marriage a matter of civil rights.
Right.
So there. Thank you, Marion.
Yeah, it's becoming such an old argument against, you know, and it's interesting that the ones who, you know, the big freedom lovers, that literally Ron Paul's against gay marriage. And that's the one area where his libertarian feelings apparently stop in their tracks.
They just stop short.
Yeah,
right.
Which means you're a phony. It means you're just a corporate liberal. You're a corporate libertarian. Mm-hmm. You believe in giving companies any rights they would seek or want. But when it comes to individuals, you have your own personal moral limits that you want to legally impose on other people simply because they differ from yours.
That's freedom.
Yeah.
By the way, one
which is the biggest phony in the world.
Sad note I didn't get to mention yesterday. This just makes me personally sad. Jane Lynch and her wife are divorcing. They've been married 3 years. And, you know, but again, I mean, I think it goes to show you that, guess what? Relationships are hard.
Yeah.
And we deserve a right to screw things up just as much as straight people, is my point.
I think it's a moment to celebrate. Right. I think our first gay divorces means that that gay marriage is working out just like straight
Absolutely.
Marriage.
It's yes, got we're it's, proving.
Yeah. It's, I mean, which, the track record will probably be slightly better on the gay side for a time, simply because it's harder to get and therefore will be taken slightly more seriously. But then at the same time, it might be that we can. Let's try it. Oh, let's not.
Oh, yeah. You know
what I mean? Like, by the way, I want to, in this regard, send a love letter to Prince Harry. Did you hear this story?
No.
Prince Harry is a hero to one of his fellow troopers who writes in a book that he saved him from a homophobic attack.
Oh, that's right. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, the book Out in the Army. James Wharton recalls an incident in which Harry stood up for him, who was bullied for being gay. Wharton was Harry's gunner during training, and he turned to Harry for help after six soldiers threatened to batter him. I told him, I think I'm going to be murdered by the infantry. I climbed into the turret and talked Harry through exactly what had happened. He had a complete look of bewilderment on his face. I couldn't stop the tears from welling up in my eyes. He said, right, I'm going to sort this out once and for all.
And he can.
He yeah. Yeah.
He's got some connections.
Yeah. He watched as the royal confronted the group, warning them that they would face severe discipline if their threats continued. He then repeated the reported the threats to his senior officer. The prince returned 10 minutes later to tell him it had been sorted. It has been sorted.
Do not piss us off.
That's right.
You will live to regret it.
That's cool.
The Tower of London is still standing.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Ferocious attack of corgis you have ever experienced. Gnawing on your dangly bits
in
a deep desert
Your ankles
cave.
Shall be no more.
Train them to go straight for your naughty bits.
Yes. Corgis! Attack! Yes, get them. They've stolen an ashtray from the royals.
Can I just say, corgis, gayest dogs ever.
Yes.
Just saying. Oh, speaking of pets, Jim, you found a new cat website that you love.
It now.
It's a Why German...
Someone sent me the angry German cat.
Angry German cat.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. It's
Why is he angry?
Because he's sitting on a watermelon, and he says, Das ist meine Wassermelone! Meine! It's my watermelon.
Right. It's good that the Germans are finally catching up with memes now. Isn't that adorable?
The Germans can
That's
be funny.
Why,
yeah. Who knew?
No, That's why angry
really.
German cat is
no,
angry.
They can
ride on the back of other funny.
Okay.
Pretty well.
Yeah. They can ride a meme. Yeah.
Someone took angry German kitty's watermelon. Oh, kitty, no. Nine.
Nine. Not the rind.
Not the nine.
Not the rind.
The rind or the rind.
Nine.
All right. Oh, my God. Really? HowSparks.com. He's at the Brea Improv this week.
Absolutely.
And we love you every week.
Oh, we really do.
Love you right back. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually in Connecticut next week. Anybody can go to HowSparks.com and all my stuff's on the calendar.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.